Our League of Women Voters feature this morning. It's a once-a-month feature that we bring you here at KUMD. Our guest this morning is Joan Peterson. She's the co-president of the Northland chapter of the Brady Campaign and also a member of the Brady Campaign Center to Prevent Gun Violence and Protect Minnesota, Preventing Gun Injuries and Deaths. Joan, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
We've heard a lot about the Orlando shooter being on the FBI's terror list for a time and then taken off. And I only heard it mentioned once. Someone with the FBI said he was on the list. We investigated him. We found nothing. So we took him off the list.
Right.
And I'm wondering, there are a lot of people that, you know, in many ways that I'm sympathetic to that are saying, how could this have happened? How could this have happened? But they didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it have been kind of the worst sort of perhaps racial profiling or religious profiling to go ahead with the information they had at that time and say, no, you can't buy guns?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, this is a controversial topic, obviously. Even the American Civil Liberties Union has been involved in this, partly because there are people whose names are on the list sort of by mistake or accidentally, and you have to appeal to get your name off the list. And at this point in time, the shooter's name was not on the list, so we may not have been able to prevent this particular shooting. But I think for those of us involved in gun violence prevention, there's a broader issue here, and that is that we can prohibit purchasers of guns for other reasons, like restraining orders, domestic abuse, someone adjudicated mentally ill, a felon. But it just doesn't make sense that we cannot exclude people on a terror watch list from purchasing guns. We can see that they are purchasing them. In fact, we know that thousands of them are purchasing guns, but we can't stop them from purchasing guns. So for us, there's more of a principle here. Why would they not be on a list of people who can't purchase guns if they are being looked at? And as we go forward, I'm quite sure this isn't the last of these kinds of incidents. And at this point, we don't even know if this was terror-related. His former wife is saying he was extremely mentally unstable. He was a domestic abuser. She left the marriage after 4 months because he was abusing her. And she said she is even calling him insane. And so there are lots of other issues with this particular shooting, and we don't even know if it was terror-related. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't push for legislation to keep future incidents like this from happening, and that's what we're about, is prevention.
I am much more, and people that I know are much more likely, and I was at one point in my life, much more likely to have been injured by an abusive partner with a gun or killed by an abusive partner with a gun than I am to ever be in the same place with a terrorist.
Yeah, why? Exactly.
Yeah. Why the outcry about this particular incident, and why did they, you know, that he was on the FBI watch list, mm-hmm. blah, 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 and yet domestic abusers can mm-hmm. still have access to their own firearms, or yeah. they can go out and yeah. buy firearms. Do you have an explanation
yeah,
for that?
That's a good point. When it comes to guns and American gun law, there are a few explanations, at least in my mind, but there's a place called Gun Violence Archive that keeps track of every single shooting that they can find. And there were hundreds of people shot and killed on the same day that the 49 now people who were shot and killed at the nightclub in Orlando. So everyday shootings are taking the lives of more people than incidents like this, which is almost always the case with mass shootings. And then, of course, we know that this is now political. for obvious reasons, it's become politicized as to whether it's a terror attack or just another madman with a gun who's going around shooting people on a daily basis. So that is a hard one to explain, and we don't yet know clearly what his motives are. But what we want to know, what we want to do is to prevent whoever can get these guns, and these guns are so easily accessible in America. This is just not happening in other countries.
If I, and as a matter of fact, I heard Amy Goodman talk about something just a little bit with Democracy Now! Earlier this week, where she forward promoted a story where she said that Australia was a country full of people who adored their firearms, and yet they passed sweeping firearm legislation after a mass shooting in 1995 to limit guns. It seems that the combination of, if I'm reading my social media feeds correctly, it seems that the combination of a lot of money from the NRA and a lot of fear-mongering, wherever that comes from, has really entrenched people, many people, in a place where they won't even consider any kind of a compromise, or they won't even consider, yes, background checks make sense, or you know, people don't need access to automatic weapons, or fill in the blank. How can a more moderate approach, how can you deal with a mindset that is, that in many instances is just kind of set in concrete?
Boy, that's a good question. I've been asking it since I've started working in this gun violence prevention in the year 2000. It's very entrenched. It comes from the top. We use the word corporate gun lobby because it's all about profits and sales of guns, and gun sales of AR-15s went up immediately when this shooting happened out of fear that they'll be taken away from people, which is never the case. But that those kinds of messages come from NRA lobbyists and their leaders and filter down to people who have this fear, terrible fear of gun confiscation. And it's a crazy notion. I mean, it's not going to happen, but there are people who are so afraid the government is coming for their guns. It's a nonsensical idea if you really think it through, but people, I guess, are not really thinking it through. So it is. We're very entrenched. It's very political. It's based on profit. People from the gun manufacturers sit on the boards of the NRA and vice versa. And, you know, some people have written, the Violence Policy Center has a whole series of articles called Blood Money. What does it mean that profit is more important than lives saved? And so we don't have the will because we have a Second Amendment that always stands in the way. But if you read the Second Amendment carefully, it's a well-regulated militia, and nothing in the Heller decision that Justice Scalia wrote for the majority said anything about the fact that we cannot regulate sales of guns and who can own them. And so the messaging has mostly come, I think, from the gun lobby, but those of us involved in the other side and the gun violence prevention movement are starting to have our voices heard. Our message is starting to be out there, and politically now we are hearing politicians use the right wording. We're using people talk about, you know, this issue as a majority issue, and it's something that 92% of Americans favor, but they don't have the political will to go up against the gun lobby. But I'm seeing people willing to go up against the gun lobby, and in order to save lives, I think that has to happen.
Joan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it. It was good to talk with you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Joan Peterson, our guest this morning on our League of Women Voters feature here on 103.3 KUMD.